This is Chris.
And this is Jim.
And this is Double Dome Digitally Speaking.
Enjoy the show.
Every single month, there is this one moment that I think strikes absolute fear into the heart of, well, even the most seasoned executive.
Oh, yeah. Budget allocation day.
Exactly. Budget allocation day. You're just staring at this massive spreadsheet, reviewing your marketing performance from the last month.
Which is usually a headache on its own.
Right. And you're getting ready to deploy your next, I don't know, $5,000 or $10,000 block of growth capital.
And if you're like most people, you end up doing pretty much exactly what you did the month before.
Yeah, just largely out of habit.
Right, just sort of hoping the market hasn't completely shifted beneath your feet.
Which it always is. So our mission today for this deep dive is to rescue your marketing budget from that exact trap.
It's a very expensive trap.
Very. We are going to explore how to, you know, stop throwing good money after bad and instead deploy your capital exactly where it yields maximum bottom line revenue.
Which is the dream, right?
Exactly. And to guide us, we're looking at this incredibly timely article. It's called Marketing Allocation Audit, Optimize Your Growth Spend.
It's a great piece.
Yeah, it was written by Joe Medico, who is the director of client services over at the digital marketing agency Double Dome.
It's honestly, it's a sobering piece of writing.
It really is.
It kind of forces this complete reevaluation of your financial data. And I mean, it just dismantles the default playbook that so many businesses have been running for, gosh, the last decade.
Right, because the business environment right now in 2026, it is just brutal for legacy marketing models.
Oh, completely brutal.
Like the traditional way of driving traffic is collapsing because, well, AI tools are natively answering consumer queries before anyone ever even clicks on a search result.
Yeah, they don't even need to visit your site anymore.
Right, okay, let's unpack this. Allocating a block of growth capital based on habit right now, it's essentially like walking into a casino and feeding a slot machine just because it paid out 3 years ago.
Yeah, without ever bothering to check the current odds.
Exactly. You're just operating on this memory of success.
You are. And, you know, to understand how to actually fix a broken marketing budget, we really have to look at why the traditional methods of evaluating success are just failing so spectacularly right now.
Like the way agencies report things?
Yeah, exactly. For a long time, the industry standard was evaluating performance in a complete vacuum.
Right.
Agencies would just hand over these reports filled with what we call vanity metrics.
Ah, yes. Impressions, click-through rates.
Exactly. Arbitrary keyword positions.
Yeah.
Hey, you're number three for this random search term.
Which means nothing. I see companies every day bragging on LinkedIn about like a 500% increase in impressions, but their sales pipeline is completely dead.
Right. They're celebrating while the ship is sinking.
So wait, if impressions and click-through rates are just these vanity metrics, what is actually happening to the businesses that still treat those numbers as the holy grail?
Well, they're bleeding capital to bots, mostly.
Yeah.
Bots and low-intent scrollers. Yeah, I mean, think about the mechanics of an ad platform's algorithm, right? If you tell the platform, hey, optimize this for impressions, the algorithm is inherently lazy.
It'll just take the easiest route.
Exactly. It will find the absolute cheapest, lowest quality eyeballs on the entire internet to fulfill your impression quota.
Wow. So you get this chart showing a massive spike in visibility.
Right, but your sales team is just sitting on their hands with nothing to do. It's just this illusion of growth, and it's manufactured by algorithms that are, frankly, optimizing for their own revenue.
Not yours.
Exactly, not yours.
There is this line from Joe Medico in the source text that I think captures this absurdity perfectly.
Oh, the Clue one.
Yes. He writes, attribution can sometimes feel like a marketing game of Clue. Everyone has a theory, nobody is completely sure, and somehow Google Ads is always in the room.
It is so painfully accurate.
It really is.
Because what's happening right now is this massive structural shift from wanting just, you know, random traffic to actually needing paying customers.
Right. The stakes are higher.
Yeah. And the rise of AI search is really forcing businesses to cut through all that traditional agency fluff.
Because the old excuses don't work anymore.
Exactly. For years, if a campaign failed, an agency could just hide behind vague explanations. They'd say, oh, it was a core algorithm update, or, well, consumer behavior is shifting.
I've heard that one a lot.
We all have.
Wow.
But now, with AI directly answering queries and traditional click volume dropping across the board, those vanity metrics are just collapsing.
The tide has completely gone out.
Yeah, and you can finally see who actually has a real attribution model and who is just guessing.
So since those old front-end metrics are essentially useless for making actual financial decisions, we need a new compass entirely.
We really do.
And that introduces the core framework of this marketing allocation audit. We are moving away from looking at traffic in a vacuum and moving into this two-dimensional framework to evaluate every single active and prospective channel.
Right. And the first dimension here is true ROI.
True ROI.
Yeah. And the word true is critical here because it's not the ROI that gets reported by the ad platform.
Right. Because we know they lie, or at least they exaggerate.
Exactly. True ROI is measured strictly by your customer acquisition cost, your CAC, and your customer lifetime value.
Okay.
But the absolute non-negotiable rule here is that this ROI must be mapped through back-end CRM closed deals, not front-end platform clicks.
Wait, so just to clarify, if an ad platform reports that, say, a click costs 50 cents, but that click doesn't eventually result in a closed one deal in our CRM,
then you treat that marketing spend as a complete zero.
Wow. Okay. That's harsh, but it makes sense.
What's fascinating here is the massive disconnect between what a platform claims and what a business actually experiences in reality.
Right.
A front-end ad network, they will happily take credit for a conversion if someone just fills out a form.
Sure, here's your lead.
Exactly. They'll tell you they delivered a lead for $10 and pat themselves on the back, but your CRM is the ground truth.
Because the CRM knows what happens after the form is filled out.
Exactly. The CRM might reveal that that $10 lead was actually a college student doing research.
Or a competitor just snooping around.
Or just a straight-up bot. If the deal doesn't close in the CRM, no actual money changed hands. True ROI connects the marketing activity directly to bankable revenue.
Which makes the second dimension even more important, I think, because a channel could have a great true ROI, but no room to actually run.
Yeah, exactly.
So dimension two is the growth ceiling, right? Or the scale potential of the channel.
Right, the ceiling.
This requires evaluating the total addressable market search volume, the competitive density, and the channel's capacity to absorb higher ad spend without breaking.
Which is where most people get tripped up.
Yeah.
People usually only look at that first dimension.
They see the ROI and get excited.
Right, they find a profitable channel and suddenly they assume the laws of physics no longer apply. But the growth ceiling dictates reality.
Okay, let's test that assumption then. Because if I am running my business and I find a channel with a massive, proven, true ROI, my first instinct is to just dump absolutely all of my extra budget into it.
Most people's instinct, yeah.
Right. Why shouldn't I just ride that wave and double my budget every single month?
Because every single channel, without exception, hits a point of diminishing returns.
Okay.
Imagine you have this highly profitable campaign targeting, let's say, structural engineers in Chicago.
Pretty niche.
Very niche. There are only so many structural engineers in Chicago. Once you reach the growth ceiling, meaning you've saturated that specific ready-to-buy audience, adding more ad spend doesn't magically manifest more structural engineers.
You can't just print new people.
Exactly. So what happens? The ad platform will just start showing your ads to the same people more frequently.
Oh.
Or it'll start showing them to less qualified people just to make sure it spends your daily budget. You end up inflating your own cost per click.
So you're paying more money for the exact same total number of customers?
Yep. So pumping money blindly past that growth ceiling, it just enriches the ad networks and absolutely tanks your own margins.
You're essentially just bidding against yourself at that point.
You really are.
Okay, so we have ROI on one axis and growth potential on the other. Plotting those two dimensions creates this matrix that takes, really, all this stress and ambiguity out of budget allocation.
It makes it so much clearer.
Yeah, the source text breaks this down into four actionable strategic quadrants. So when you were staring at that spreadsheet tomorrow, trying to decide where that next dollar goes, the first place you look is the scale quadrant.
Right. Quadrant one. This is your high ROI, high growth potential zone.
The golden zone.
Exactly. This is where your next marginal dollar belongs. The source text points to things like intent match search campaigns or highly converting thought leadership pipelines as prime examples here.
These are the channels where the unit economics are actually proven. You know, a dollar in brings $3 out and you just haven't hit that ceiling yet.
Right. There is still untapped audience volume out there.
So you just keep feeding it. But eventually, like you said, you do reach a saturation point. And that takes us to the second scenario, which is the maintain quadrant.
Right. So the maintain quadrant is high ROI, but very limited growth potential.
The ceiling is low.
Exactly. The mandate here is to protect your current spend, but rigorously avoid adding more capital.
Branded search ads are the classic example of this, right?
Oh, absolutely. They're highly profitable because anyone searching for your specific company name, they already intend to interact with you.
They're basically already at the door.
Right. But the market size is entirely constrained by your current brand awareness. You cannot force more people to search for your brand name just by increasing your ad budget.
That makes sense.
If you allocate extra money to a branded search campaign, Google will literally just charge you more for the exact same clicks.
Just burning money.
Yep. You maintain the baseline spend to capture that existing demand, but you do not look to it for new growth.
Okay, so that leaves us with the challenge of finding new avenues, which brings us to the test quadrant. The fun one.
Yeah, high growth potential, but entirely unproven ROI. The text highlights things like cross-platform AI optimization here.
Which is huge right now.
It's a massive opportunity, but the strategy requires allocating small test budgets with really strict stop-loss guardrails.
Right, because you are exploring new territory where the unit economics haven't actually been validated by your CRM yet.
It's a gamble.
Sort of. The potential reward is capturing early market share in AI search, but you absolutely have to protect your downside.
The test quadrant's stop-loss guardrails, they're essentially like bowling with bumpers.
I like that analogy.
Right. You can grab the bowling ball and throw it down the lane with this wild new spin. Like, you can launch an aggressive, totally unproven strategy, but those bumpers ensure the ball isn't going straight into the gutter.
Exactly. You set a firm budget limit, say $2,000.
And if the campaign hits that limit without generating CRM-validated pipeline, what happens?
The system automatically shuts it off.
Oh, done. You took a swing, you gathered valuable data, but you didn't bankrupt the quarter doing it.
It enables aggressive innovation without the existential risk.
Yeah, it's calculated experimentation versus just blind gambling.
I love that. And finally, we arrive at the cut quadrant.
Oh boy.
Low ROI, limited growth potential. This is basically the graveyard of legacy marketing.
It really is.
The strategy here is simple. Reallocate this capital immediately. These are the channels that are eating up a monthly retainer, but delivering terrible lead quality, or even worse, just generating bot traffic.
Yeah. Joe Medico has a line about this that is just impossible to forget.
A bucket line.
Yes. He writes, many websites collect leaves the way a bucket collects water after someone forgot to put the bottom in.
It's so visceral.
It really is. The sheer volume of capital that businesses waste pouring water into a bottomless bucket, it's staggering.
Why do they keep doing it?
Habit. They keep funding dead channels simply because they funded them last year, or, you know, because an agency's PDF report makes the traffic graph look pretty.
Right, the vanity graph going up and to the right. So we have this beautifully logical, audited matrix. The four quadrants clarify exactly where capital should flow.
Yes.
But we really have to contrast this audited reality with what businesses are historically used to receiving from traditional agencies.
The 40-page decks.
Yes, the intuition-based default relies on these massive 40-page PDF decks just filled with platform vanity graphs.
Right, and the 40-page PDF is specifically designed to overwhelm the client with data so they don't ask the only question that actually matters.
Which is, did this make us money?
Exactly. The marketing allocation audit standard entirely replaces that novel with a simple, stark financial dashboard.
Keep it simple.
Yes. It reduces all that complexity to a single verifiable statement. I spent X and our systems returned Y.
See, here's where it gets really interesting, though, because getting to that simple one-sentence dashboard actually requires an immense amount of technical overhead behind the scenes.
Oh, yeah. Simple to read, hard to build.
Exactly. The text outlines a few technical requirements that most businesses are just totally missing right now. You need advanced CRM integration, obviously.
That's a baseline.
But it also highlights the need for server-side attribution and OCI, which is offline conversion tracking. Let's start with server-side attribution because it sounds like IT jargon, but it's fundamentally changing how data is tracked.
It's a game changer. Historically, marketing relied on pixel tracking.
Right.
A little piece of code on the front end of your website would drop a cookie in a user's browser to track their behavior.
Which we all hate now.
Exactly. So with ad blockers, privacy updates, and basically the death of third-party cookies, pixel tracking is largely blind now. It just doesn't work.
So what does server-side do?
Server-side attribution bypasses the browser entirely. Your secure server talks directly to the ad platform server through an API.
Server to server.
Exactly. It says user 123 clicked an ad, and user 123 just made a purchase. It's incredibly resilient. But it requires some serious technical chops to actually set up.
And that ties directly into OCI, right? Offline conversion imports. This seems to be the ultimate weapon against the bot traffic we were talking about earlier.
Oh, it is. OCI is how you train the algorithms to work for you instead of against you.
Okay, break that down for me.
Usually an ad platform only knows what happens up until the very moment a user submits a form on your website.
And then it just assumes it was a success.
Right. After that, it's flying blind. But with OCI, you take the data from your CRM, the actual deals that closed, the contracts that were literally signed offline, and you import that data back into Google or Meta.
You are creating a feedback loop.
A highly accurate feedback loop.
So you are basically telling the algorithm, hey, stop looking for people who just click things randomly and start looking for people who resemble this specific customer who just actually spent $10,000 with us.
Precisely. And in doing so, you automatically expose click fraud.
Because bots don't buy things.
Exactly. If an ad campaign is driving thousands of clicks, but your OCI feedback loop is reporting zero closed deals back to the platform, you know instantly that the front-end traffic is complete junk.
Bots don't sign contracts.
Nope. They never have.
This all circles back to the massive shift in this AI-driven landscape. The old goal was chasing legacy clicks. The new objective is engineering structured data and content depth to earn what DoubleDome calls preferred answer status in AI search.
Yeah, that's the new frontier.
It's not about stuffing keywords into a blog post anymore. It's about structuring your site's data through schema markup so that an AI crawler can instantly parse it and present it as fact to the consumer.
Right. And if we connect this to the bigger picture, achieving that preferred answer status,
yeah,
setting up those server-side APIs, managing the OCI feedback loops.
It's a lot.
It's a tremendous amount. This is a level of technical precision that an active leadership team simply cannot manage in-house without losing focus on their actual product.
Outsourcing this technical overhead is really the only way a CEO can stop playing data detective and actually focus on scaling operations.
100%.
Getting a 40-page PDF from an agency detailing, you know, bounce rates and impression shares, it's like a mechanic handing you a 40-page chart of your engine's thermal dynamics when all you asked is, will the car start?
Exactly. You don't care about the thermal dynamics.
You don't need the fluff. You just need to know if the engine is converting fuel into forward momentum.
You need to know the unit economics are sound so you can confidently press the accelerator.
Right. So what does this all mean? The core takeaway for you, the listener, is this fundamental shift in ownership. Stop renting your growth out of habit, hoping the old playbook still works, and start actually owning your pipeline through rigorous financial auditing.
And the practical application here is to run this allocation audit biannually, or, I mean, at the absolute minimum, before you sign off on any major budget increases.
You have to map the current reality.
You have to.
And it requires a longer-term perspective once these systems are actually built. The text leaves us with a great analogy regarding SEO that I think applies to this entire structural approach.
Oh, the orchard one.
Yes. SEO is more like planting an orchard than buying groceries.
Mm.
The payoff can be substantial, but nobody gets apples tomorrow.
It's so true. Building a resilient growth engine requires patience. You are planting an orchard. But, you know, before we wrap up, there is one final lingering thought from the text that we really have to address about where this is all heading.
Oh, lay it on me.
So we discussed how AI tools are natively answering consumer questions without requiring a click, right?
Yeah.
And we discussed how companies are now battling for preferred answer status by engineering that structured data.
That schema markup, all that.
If this trajectory holds over the next 5 years, what happens to the very concept of a business website?
Wow. That is a fascinating rabbit hole.
Isn't it?
If humans are getting their answers directly from the AI interface, they aren't actually navigating our menus or scrolling through our carefully designed landing pages.
Right. Will we eventually reach a point where we stop auditing how humans interact with our websites entirely?
Just bypass the human UX altogether.
Exactly. Will the marketing audit of the future solely be about evaluating how an AI system perceives and processes our data repository?
It completely reframes the purpose of our digital real estate. Like, are we even going to build websites with visual aesthetics for human eyes in the future? Or are we simply building highly optimized data feeds designed strictly for machine consumption?
It really forces you to ask, how is your business data structured for an AI right now?
Because if it isn't structured well,
if the AI cannot parse your unstructured legacy website, your business essentially doesn't exist in the new search ecosystem.
You aren't even on the playing field.
You're invisible.
Which brings us right back to that casino slot machine. If you are just pulling the lever out of habit, relying on metrics from a world that frankly doesn't exist anymore, you are going to lose your shirt.
For sure.
Stop playing games with your capital. Run the audit, look at the actual odds, and deploy your budget exactly where the data proves it will grow. Until next time, keep digging deep.
We hope you enjoyed today's topic.
Be sure to like, comment, and follow us.
And check out our other shows, all related to digital marketing.
Whether you're a web designer, Google Ads specialist, or a small business owner, we've got a show that'll help you get clarity on what's trending now in digital marketing.
And if you need help,
with 25 years of experience across 30 plus industries and thousands of projects, we deliver ruthlessly effective Google Ads, SEO, and omnichannel digital marketing campaigns.
Learn how you can get consistent leads in 30 days or less using our proven digital marketing strategies.
Contact us at doubledome.com to set up a free consultation.